We're turning tonight in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Reading at verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Father, again, we ask you to bless this time as we open your word. We ask for the Spirit of God to be our teacher, to instruct us in the things that are in your word. And we pray that the Lord Jesus might be honored and glorified. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, as a believer, each of us has a rendezvous with a court-appointed date. And you can't cancel that appointment, you can't be late for it, and you can't reschedule it. The Bible says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us receive the things done in our bodies according to what we've done, whether good or bad. And at this appointment, we're going to have our life and our conduct and our words and our works from since the day that we got saved, we're going to have all of those put into a fire to see what sort they are. What we've done for Christ will be rewarded. And what we've done for personal gain, for self, it'll be exposed for what it is. And there's going to be no doubt things that are done even in the religious context that had the self as the beneficiary. And those things too, they're all going to be sorted out with fire. And, you know, self-ambition, that often wears the apparel of religion. Self-gratification, that can dress itself up in the clothing of religion. Those are building materials of wood, hay, and stubble, and they're going to be burned by fire at the judgment seat of Christ. Many of us, no doubt, have heard about, we've often heard about the rewards of the believer at the judgment seat, but we don't hear as often about the other side, the side of suffering loss in heaven. Wood, hay, and stubble, they're not popular subjects. They're easy to neglect. They're easy to pass over. And no doubt in just about any Bible-believing church over the years, you'll hear sermons about the five crowns of the for the believers. But you'll hear far fewer sermons on what happens to believers who don't receive any crowns. And so it's easy for believers to become careless, to become unconcerned, thinking that it's really not going to make all that much difference in the end. I mean, for the Christians who are faithful, they'll be rewarded. And if they haven't been faithful, they're still saved. They think that they'll still go to heaven, and eventually, in the end, everything's going to be forgotten and heaven will be heaven. But that's not what the Bible teaches. There's not going to be anything pleasant in suffering any kind of eternal loss in heaven. It'll be calamitous. Verse 15 in our text says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. To suffer by losing something that should have been yours eternally, that's a tragic loss. It has a tragic side to it. To suffer such a loss after a lifetime of opportunities, to be ashamed at his appearing, that's going to be a great loss. The day is coming when the fire is going to reveal just how you have used all of your opportunities, all of your talents, all of your time, all of your money, all of your words, all of your material possessions. Were they used for the glory of God? Or were they used for your glory? 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul admonishes us to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We don't work for our salvation, but we are to work it out. Salvation is a free gift of God, but what we do with that gift, that is our responsibility. Verse 9 says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. And you know, when you open the Bible record, one of the first things that you encounter is the importance to God, the importance of labor and work. In the opening verses of the Bible, we see God's work in creation. We read that in the beginning, God himself labored for 6 days and he ended his work on the seventh day. God's work week ended, it went for six 24-hour days until the seventh day, and he rested. And certainly in a broader, more prophetic view, God has still been working. He's been working for six millennial days since the beginning of the creation, and he's soon going to give the entire creation a day of rest. The earth is soon going to have its millennial day of rest of 1,000 years. But in this present time, as we read here in 1 Corinthians 3, God is still doing his work. And we are laborers together with God in this work. The word laborer means a toiler, a worker. The toil, the labor, the work that we're called to do together with God primarily is that of building his church. You know, Pastor Kent used to often teach about what he called the three most important decisions that you'll ever make in your lifetime. And you know, I've never heard anybody able to improve on those as he presented them. And you know, if you're here tonight in this meeting and you do not have Jesus Christ living in your heart as your personal Savior, the most important decision you'll ever make in your life is to turn from your sins and receive Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Receive everlasting life. That's the most important decision. But as many of you old timers know, that the second most important decision that you'll ever make in your lifetime is the church that you attend. Now, you tell me, I'd like to hear some improvement on that. For 30 years, I've never heard anybody improve on that. The church that you attend. And then the third most important decision is who you marry, because those second two decisions affect you for the rest of your life. Certainly the church that you attend. Let's think about that second decision for a moment. Psalm 127 verse 1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." And the house of the local church, that's God's work in this dispensation. He said in Matthew 16, "I will build my church." And we are to be laborers together with God in this work. And in Acts 2, it says that the Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. He admonishes us in Acts chapter 20 that we are to feed the church. The church is what he's feeding. The church is what he's building. The church is what he's adding to. In 1 Corinthians 10:32, it says, "Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God." Clarence Larkin, in a book called Rightly Dividing the Word, he said this, quote, "While the Bible was written for all classes of people and for our learning, it is not addressed to all people in general. Part of it is addressed to the Jews, part to the Gentiles, and part to the church. These three constitute the three classes into which humanity is divided," end quote. You know, the church is important. The church that you attend is really the second most important decision you'll ever make in your life, because it so affects not only you in this lifetime, but for eternity. God sets in the church apostles and prophets and teachers and miracles and helps and healings and governments. He gives these spiritual gifts and he sets them in the church. And it's with these spiritual gifts that each believer has, it's with those that we are to seek to excel in edifying or building up the church. It's all about the church. "Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages." The Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, loved the church and he gave himself for it, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. He's the head of the body, the church. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The seven churches of Revelation, they reveal God's work in this dispensation. So I think it becomes obvious to the Bible student where the intense focus of God's labors are directed. Where are ours directed? Where is the focus of our labors directed? His are directed towards his church. And we should be co-laborers in this work. 1 Corinthians 3:9, "For we are laborers together with God." Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And as his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, we labor, we toil in this husbandry together with God, the building of his church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, if you'll notice that word husbandry, it's the only place in the New Testament that you find that word. We are God's husbandry. That literally means a cultivated, a tilled field. It's saying that we're God's soil, we're his tillage, we're God's clay, we're God's farm. And the picture that should come to mind here is that this church at Corinth as well as this church here in Southern Pines, is the field upon which God is bestowing this labor of tillage. And just like the prophet Hosea said, as God's tillage, we are to break up the fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. And he'll come and he'll rain righteousness upon us if we do that, if we're laborers together with God in this work. You know, we need to include in our prayers that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. And prayers like those should be right up there along with all of our other prayer requests. We are God's husbandry. We're his tillage. We're his farm. Christ said, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. And with what motives, whether they're good motives or whether they're not good motives, with what motives, with the intentions, for what purpose, we daily carry out this work, one day, very soon, it's going to be sorted out by fire. Our works are going to follow us to heaven. And there, they're going to be sorted by fire to see what sort of works. Were they good? Were they bad? Some works will be rewarded. Some will be consumed in the fire of the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. In Revelation 14:3, we read, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Their works do follow them. Our works are going to follow us to the judgment seat in heaven, there to be sorted out by fire. Every day, we're laborers and toilers for the husband. We're either doing it in a way that's going to be rewarded, or maybe we're just spiritual sloths. Proverbs 18:9 says, he also that is slothful, meaning idle, in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. As a laborer, what great regret are the fires of God's judgment going to reveal one day? One day when it's too late, how regrettable it's going to be to see what a great waste of eternal opportunities were passed over. For what? For just a few earthly pleasures? Solomon said, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was grown over with thorns. You know what thorns represent? The cares of this world, the cares of this life. And nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall was broken down, the stone. The work was broken down, the stone. You know who the chief cornerstone that's been rejected is, and even as believers, we're living stones. The stone wall was broken down. But you know, there is a spiritual sloth in every one of us. There's that old man, that old spiritual sloth in every one of us, who's doesn't even care about the work of the husbandman. The vineyard of the husband, look, it's only my personal vineyard that I'm worried about. Solomon said, then I saw and I considered it well. I looked upon it. He looked upon that slothful field where that man let his wall fall down and the brambles grew up. And he said, I received instruction. But the question is, do we look upon, do we see this slothful, great waster within ourselves? Do we consider it well? Do we look upon the wood and the hay and the stubble of our lives, that which the old man likes to build with? Do we look upon that and receive instruction? You know, again, in Ephesians 2, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before hath ordained that we should walk in them. Pastor Garrison was recently speaking about the ordination, God's ordination of the believer. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Here's that divine ordination again. God before has ordained us that we should walk in good works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 says that as a believer, you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We have an active responsibility as living stones to be laborers together with God in the construction of the most important building on earth, the temple and dwelling place of God himself. What kind of building materials are you adding to that foundation that wise master builder, the Apostle Paul, laid? Are you building with stubble, with hay, or is it gold and silver and precious stones? M.R. DeHaan said something interesting about the contrast of these materials. He said the first group, the gold, the silver, the precious stones, those are materials that are a result of a creative act. The only way they got here is God created them. They were placed here by God. They're not the result of natural growth, but creation. So those things represent to us the things of the Spirit of God, the things of the new life in Jesus Christ, the new creation. But the materials in the second group, the wood, the hay, the stubble, they're all products, not of creation, but of natural growth. They weren't created in the form in which they appear. They're products of natural growth. They're the things of the old man, the natural man, the flesh. And what about the value? What about the value of these two groups of materials? Gold, silver, and precious stones. You know, they're not very big, but they're precious. They're not very bulky, but they are costly. You go and try to buy some, you'll find out. Just a little bit of those materials can be of great value. A person could carry a treasure of precious stones in his pocket, and no one would even know that he had them on them. They're not big and bulky, but they have great value. But you know, the other group, the wood, the hay, the stubble, those can be so big and bulky and yet of so little worth. A whole barn full of stubble is not even worth the cost to move it. And a whole load of hay is worth less than just a few precious little diamonds that a person has in their pocket. And you know, you can so easily hide those precious, priceless stones, and people won't even be able to see. But you can go by a field with a big, big stack of hay. You can see it from a mile away. And isn't it the inclination of man to value things in terms of its bigness and size and overlook the smaller things, though they have so much value to them? So the second group, the wood, the hay, the stubble, they represent the works of the flesh, the works of the natural man. And they can be impressive to men in terms of their bigness. But in God's mathematics, in God's economy, just a little bit of gold and silver and precious stones inconspicuous though they may be, they are precious. Their value is worth more than a barn full of stubble and hay. And you know, gold and silver, they have a permanency about them. They have a permanent nature about them. But the wood, the hay, the stubble, it can be here today, gone tomorrow. They can go up in smoke. And that which we do in the energy of the flesh, I don't care how big, how impressive it looks, it is going to be sorted out by fire. And the fire is going to discover the motives, the intent for which every work in your body was done, whether good or the Greek word worthless, bad. Bad, the Greek word means worthless. How our flesh likes to impress. How our flesh craves this popularity. Oh, we want to be accepted. We want personal gain. Be careful. Those are worthless. They'll one day be consumed in smoke. Verse 13, it says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Fire possesses that ability to test the quality of things. And gold and silver, that won't be destroyed by fire. In fact, the fire will purify the impurities out of those materials. But the wood, the hay, and the stubble, they'll be consumed. And you find that throughout the Bible. The fact that fire has this power to test the nature of objects. Isaiah 4:4, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof, by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Malachi 3:2, who may abide in the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. The Lord said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. A wise builder, by the Lord's definition, builds on the right foundation. The Apostle Paul said, as a wise master builder in 1 Corinthians 3:10, I have laid the foundation and another builds thereupon. You know, do we grasp the reality of what we're really doing every day? Today, just as tomorrow, we'll build on the Apostle Paul's foundation. What are we adding to that foundation? Is it wood? Is it hay? Is it stubble? Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Are you really paying attention to what you're building? What materials are you using? Are you really giving careful thought to what your life really consists of? You know, what care do men take the importance of building buildings in this world? They take great care when they go to build some important building. The Bible says, let every man take heed. Be careful. Use caution. Be cautious about what kind of building you're laying on top of that foundation that's been laid. Take heed how you build on the foundation. Are you following the blueprint of God's word? And every believer is going to have to give an account of the materials and how he's building on God's building, this foundation. What kind of materials he's using. What sort are the materials? Paul, even within himself, the Apostle Paul feared that he could be a castaway. He could be disqualified. He was fearful that he would serve God in the flesh and not after the Spirit. It's not enough. It's not enough, beloved, that a good foundation has been laid. That's only the beginning. A good foundation has been laid here in this church, and now it falls upon you to build upon that foundation. Gold, silver, precious stones. We need to take care that we're not living our Christian life on our own private interpretations of what the work of God is. Take heed, don't develop your own private thoughts in divine matters. The Bible says, in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Not in a counselor, singular, in a counselor that there's safety. In the multitude of counselors there's safety. You know, carnal Christians, they like to go to the counselor that's always going to agree with them. The one who's going to see things their way. The one who's always going to pat you on the back, and the one who's going to tell you your cause is good. There's no safety in that. The Bible says that we need to take heed how we're doing the work of God and how we're building. And in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Verse 11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation, that's what the building is resting on. And the foundation of a church is the doctrine upon which it's established. The doctrines and the teachings that the church embraces will ultimately determine the success of that church. Isaiah 28:16, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. And then you come over to the New Testament. Ephesians, again, chapter 2 and verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth up into a temple in the Lord. In whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You know, when Moses was given the instructions to build what would be God's habitation among his people, God said, you see that you build it according to the pattern in the mount. God's word, his revelation, is our pattern. Take heed, Paul told Timothy. Take heed, Timothy, to the doctrine, continue in them, for in so doing you'll save yourself and those that hear you. So these warnings are placed here by the Spirit of God to guard against what you allow in your life. Just a little compromise over here, We'll just tolerate just a little bit of false teaching over here. We'll have just a little bit of sympathy for the needs of the flesh. A little leaven, it'll leaven the whole lump eventually. We need to be diligent. Parents need to take heed to the instruction and the example that they are in the home. Teachers need to take heed to the instruction and the example in the classroom. And church leaders need to take heed to the instruction and the examples that they give in the church. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Those who one day soon, beloved, one day soon, those who receive the reward, it'll be because they built upon the foundation that will stand the test in that day. The losers, the ones who suffer loss, it'll be because they built upon the foundation in such a way that it would not stand the test of the fire. Your life, your work, it has to be built on the truth. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, a precious cornerstone has been laid. A true foundation is laid. Wouldn't you be surprised? Wouldn't you be shocked to go by some building project and watch somebody mixing in worthless hay and stubble, mixing it right in there with precious stones, laying it right together? Wouldn't you be shocked? I mean, it would be absurd to lay some rubbish right in with some valuable materials. You know, like mixing gold with hay or silver with stubble. Stubble is the leftover stalks in the ground after the harvest has been made. You did that kind of work, it wouldn't be a permanent building. Wouldn't be very stable. Wouldn't be very beautiful. No, we would think that was one of the most absurd things we've seen. Well, then how much more in the building of the spiritual temple will it be a failure to use worthless materials and try to mix them in with the valuable? We don't mix truth and error in the building of the spiritual temple. We don't mix sound doctrine and questionable false doctrines. We don't mix the mind of Christ with the philosophies of man. 1 Corinthians 3:12 says, as you build on this foundation, look well to the materials that you're using in the work. The church of Jesus Christ has to be built on the foundation of true doctrine. We need to guard you as a Christian, this church, we need to guard against the traditions of men trying to come in. And if, as individuals, as collectively, as a church, if we're going to bear the test of the judgment of fire, our opinions, which are important, but our opinions and our habits and our doctrines, our very lives are going to have to be bathed continuously in the precious doctrines of God's Word. Some build on this foundation gold and silver and precious stones. Others build wood, hay, and stubble on this foundation. There's a time coming when a discovery is going to be made of what every one of us have built on this foundation. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Everything is going to be laid open for review. There's a day coming that will show our real actions, our real, no disguise, no more disguises. It's going to be revealed to be seen for what it is. For the day shall declare it. That is, every man's work. It will be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. In 2 Timothy 2:19, we read, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. Having this seal, the Lord knows them that are His." The Lord knows, and you know, that foundation is sure. If there's someone here tonight and you're not His, you're not the Lord's, God knows that. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And it says in that same verse, "And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." We need to take an inventory. Christian, we need to take an inventory of those iniquities. And we need to depart from them. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your precious word. We know, Lord, that the greatest sight that our eyes will behold in heaven will be our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But what a precious thought throughout the ages of eternity to fellowship with the saints of God, with men like the Apostle Paul who gave us these words through the Spirit of God. And we pray, Father, that in that soon coming day that we will not look back with regret. We pray that we will not see our works burned in the fires of your judgment. We pray that we might have rewards. And Lord, these rewards are not for us. We hope that we would have something to give to you for your glory. And so we do pray that you will help us today and every day to remember how important your word is, how important your work is, to know that you give us every day opportunities to lay up treasures in heaven. Help us not to waste our lives. Help us not to go forth in the energy of ourselves, in our flesh, but help us to look to you as the one who can do this work in and through us. And we thank you for these few moments tonight to look into this subject. And we pray that we would think upon it often. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.